Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to our broadcast today, CPA Review and More. And today, we thought we would bring on one of our candidates, successful candidates who passed the exam, and his name is Charles Kelly. And Charles is in what location?
Yeah, so right now I'm in Houston. I live a pretty decentralized life, but I'm in Houston right now.
I spoke to him yesterday, and he's got a very interesting background. And also, I think what he'll do is share with you something that I learned yesterday about taking the exam in California as a California CPA. So that's another thing. All right, so Charles, all right, when did you pass the exam? When did you finish up the exam?
So I got my official email in February. My last exam was in January, and that's of this year, so I was really excited.
Now, you have applied to the State Board of Accountancy in California, correct?
Correct.
All right, to get your license, right?
Correct.
All right, and you passed the ethics exam.
Yes, sir.
All right, now, you applied to the State Board of Accountancy in California how many weeks ago?
Last week.
Oh, just last week. Okay. Now, let's tell the people who are listening to this what makes California sort of unique, as far as I know, as far as the different CPA certificates you can get. There are two CPA certificates, correct? Licenses?
Correct. So you have your general accounting certificate, then you also have your certificate for attest engagement. So if you're doing anything on the auditing side, they're slightly different between the auditing and the general accounting, like taxes and bookkeeping and things of that nature.
So if I have worked in a government agency or a corporation, okay, and I want to use that experience, all right, and not get the CPA because I'm not going to be doing audit, the attest function. I'm just going to be doing tax returns, financial statements, consulting, that type of area, all right. What would I apply for once I pass the exam? What type of license in California?
So if your boss or the one that's over on top of you, if they're a CPA, then you can do general experience. And so once, if they're a CPA, they sign off on you saying that you've completed your year's worth of experience, and you go ahead and send that to the California State Board.
Now, what happens though if you don't work under a CPA, all right, for that general business that you were talking about? Do you have to work under a CPA?
So for me to require to get my certification, I've already worked under a CPA.
What happens if you don't work under a CPA? What happens if you were in the federal government and your boss was not a CPA, and now you're retiring from the federal government and you want to get this general business CPA certification, right? Must you've had a person you reported to who was a CPA, or that's not relevant? Because I went to the requirements last night and it said, all right, for the general business certification as a CPA, all right, you don't necessarily have to work under someone who is a CPA,
okay.
All right? That's the way I read it, and perhaps I'll go back and look at it again. All right. And in fact, I was going to call the Board of Accountancy. It's not today, but, you know, I got all excited because I thought, well, wait a minute. You don't need to work under a CPA to get your general business certification. A CPA is basically someone who's doing audits. So they're evaluating your audit experience, I believe, the CPA, correct? Or are they evaluating all your other experience?
So that's part of it. So, of course, you have the four parts in the CPA exam, one of them being audit. From an experience perspective in California, if you work under an audit, like if you're working like an audit, like on an audit or things like that, and now count as auditing experience, so you can have your attestation certification as well.
For the auditing CPA license, you have to work under a CPA, or you have to work for a CPA firm. Do you know how long that is?
I believe it's 500 hours.
Yeah, I think I read that, 500 hours, all right? But I'm going to go back and make sure of that, because I read that and I said, wow, here's a state that maybe you don't have to work in public accounting, all right, and apply for a license under a general business license, even though, all right, you didn't work under a CPA.
At the end of the day, I think they really want you to just have experience. You know, you could study for a test all you want, but until you actually start applying what you've learned, you know, do you really understand it, or are you just good at the test? So I think the experience part is trying to tackle on that that requirement right there is to actually execute.
Well, let's assume that, you know, all right, you use the experience requirement, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what did you do to get that experience requirement? What did you do under a CPA or for a CPA?
So I was basically a subsidiary accountant. So I used to work for the railroad. And one of the subsidiaries, I was the full-time accountant for multiple subsidiaries. And so I would record all of the expenses. I'd record the revenues, come up with the financial statements, and then report to the the board of directors.
And you are now, you have your own practice, correct?
Right. Well, so right now I do taxes, bookkeeping, consulting on the side. I don't want to call it a practice yet because I'm still going in with the application.
Right, right. Okay, but you're doing accounting services in a way, right?
Correct.
You're holding yourself out, obviously, as a CPA because you haven't gotten your license yet. But you just told me you work for the railroads, correct?
Correct.
And tell me where you got the experience to do individual taxes and tax returns.
And so after I left the railroad, I was working under an enrolled agent for a year. And so he had already passed his enrolled agency test. And we were actually colleagues back in college. And so I got a lot of my tax experience from him.
What kind of returns did he do? Individuals, corporations?
Most of them were small businesses, flow-through entities, 1040s, things of that nature. Nothing. I never really worked on any really big, like 1120s or anything like that.
Now, are you working on 1120s now and 1065s, partnership returns?
Partnerships, yes, but corporations, I haven't done anything that was big yet.
Well, how'd you learn how to do partnership returns if the enrolled agent really was small businesses, all right?
Well, even the enrolled agent, some of those were 1165s.
1065s, partnership returns.
Yes, yeah, so I work with him on a lot of those, but that wasn't really my focus. My main focus is on small LLCs, Schedule Cs, things of that nature.
Do you have clients who come to you and ask you how they should form, whether it's an LLC or an LLP? And then how should they file as the LLC, LLP? Do you get into that at all?
I get that actually more frequently than bookkeeping services. So the way I operate is I normally create some type of content, put it on social media, and then people will be drawn to questions to me. And so they'll ask questions such as, you know, should I be an LLC or should I be a partnership? Should I just be, you know, a sole proprietor? Can I just get my DBA? Things of that nature. And so
I see. Okay. Are you like an influencer? Is that what you are?
I won't say I'm an influencer, but that's my marketing is I create content. So I learn the information. I record the information. I edit the information. I put it out there. Then I market it. And then I take in the calls. Then I execute it. Then I monetize it. And I do it all over again. So I work the process from A to Z.
These people asking you questions though, are you charging them for your knowledge?
Yes, depending on what time of the year. If it's during tax season, I charge premium prices. If it's off season, then a lot of times I'll do like question giveaways or something of that nature where I'll say, you know, ask me these questions. I have 15 minutes here and there because off season, I have a lot more time. During season, that's almost impossible.
Where did you get your knowledge to give advice on what type of entity, LLCs or LLPs? All right, and how they should file. Is that something you taught yourself?
So a lot of that stuff is on the test, like the CPA exam itself. It explains the different pros and cons between partnerships, LLCs, sole proprietors. I mean, if they're dealing with a lot of money, you know, or they're doing something that they can get sued on, you always want to make sure they incorporate so that their personal finances aren't, you know, in danger or whatnot. And so that's normally how I get the conversation going is saying, well, if you're sued, you know, if they take everything you have, would you want to be incorporated or whatnot?
Are you, all right, and you say you get your business through LinkedIn, is that correct?
I get it through all different social media. So Instagram has been my main one. I was doing Facebook for a while. LinkedIn is about to be my next one.
You went to college where? Where'd you go to school?
I went to Texas Southern down in Houston.
Okay, and you majored in accounting, is that correct?
So I double majored in finance and accounting. Okay. 150, I got bachelor's in both.
You got a bachelor's in both accounting and finance.
Correct.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
All right. Now, when you went into accounting, did you know you were going to be you wanted to go for the CPA?
No, not at all. So I got started with accounting because I didn't really understand what accounting truly was when I first started. I knew that I was good at money and I was good at math. And so my counselor was like, oh, you should try accounting. There's a lot of growth in that industry. And so I took my counselor's advice. Me personally, I actually had like finance better. I've been doing the stock market since like third grade. So for me, stocks and bonds was always my passion. But what good is making money if you don't even know how to account for it, if you don't know the tax side? There's plenty of people who've gotten rich and then they lose it all because they don't know the tax side.
Did you want to be a financial counselor, a stockbroker? Is that what you were thinking about?
When I first started, I really didn't know. It was just, I'm good in math. I'm good in money. I'm keeping my grades up. It wasn't until really my junior to my fourth year when I was like, okay, I'm going to get my CPA. This is what I want to do. I got an internship at the railroad. And so once I was doing the accounting on that end, I was like, okay, this is what I need to do because this is powerful.
What attracted you to the railroad instead of, say, an accounting firm, like one of the big four or one of the larger CPA firms? What attracted you to the railroad?
So I liked the railroad because it had a culture that was bringing a lot of young people in at the time, because a lot of the people who are there for like 30, 40 years are starting to retire. And so it was creating a brand new young culture in there. And so there was lots of different ideas. They were listening to the young people. And so when I was doing my internship, we were actually making real influence inside the company. And I was like, oh, wow, if they're ready to change technology like that and they're ready to switch over to the young people, then that I think that that's a company I can grow with for a little longer.
What railroad were you with? Who are you with? What railroads?
Burlington Northern in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. And were you recruited by any of the big four firms? Did you interview with them at all?
I actually never applied to any big four accounting firms.
And you didn't apply to any public accounting firms?
No, I actually only applied to three jobs, period. I wasn't really, once I did the internship with BNSF, I was pretty much sold on that one. I did an internship with Apple also, but that wasn't in accounting. It was basically being a consultant, like a business consultant with them. So I chose the accounting route because that's what I went to school for.
And let me ask you, you thought to yourself, I'm going to stay with the railroad. It's got a good pension, maybe a lot of security, and I'm not going to worry about the CPA. Or the railroad encouraged you to get the CPA?
Oh, the railroad definitely encouraged me to get the CPA. So they actually paid for my first, study material. They paid for Becker study material. That's how I got started. But I felt like studying and working at the same time, it was a little too stressful. I started growing gray hairs. Like I was 24, 25 getting gray.
I see them.
They creep up quick, don't they?
Man, they popped it real quick.
The darker the hair, the quicker they show.
They were very supportive. They helped pay for the original study material. It was just the hours, during quarter close, you might be working till 1 a.m. You're working from 8 to 1 a.m. You really don't want to go home to study. And so it became which is the bigger opportunity cost? Do I leave the job for a year or two and, do it on my own? Do I have enough saved? So everything I was learning from the actual test, I started applying it to my real life. And then once I saw the scale and the balance tip, I was like, okay, it's time to make that move.
So you said you started with the Becker course. What, they give it to you, the railroad? Did they just give you the Becker course?
So I had to ask for them to pay for it, and then they paid for it, and then I received it in the mail.
Were they paid for any other courses?
No, I was gone by the time. By the time I passed my first exam, I was already gone.
Okay, I see. Yeah. All right, so you told me you passed two parts with the Becker course?
Yeah, so I took 7 tests overall. My first 2 tests I failed with Becker, and then I passed the next 2 with Becker, and then it expired. And then cost-effective wise, after you leave your job for a year and a half, spending $3,000 or $4,000 on study material isn't really feasible. And so I was asking around, and that's when a friend who I used to work with at the railroad, she introduced me to Jaeger, and so that's how we were introduced. And then I passed 2 out of my last 3 exams using Jaeger.
And that person must have told you, a guy, Phil Jaeger, very dynamic, good-looking, man about town accounting, that type of thing.
Something like that.
Did it live up to everything that person said?
Yeah. Yeah, no, everything was complimentary. It was all, if you don't understand something, you give him a call, he'll explain it to you. Really, her main thing was the organization, because I was struggling with just reading like paragraphs at a time. Like Becker, it's like in an actual book format. And after the first 3 sentences, I'd fall asleep. Like, seriously, I'd just fall asleep. And so she was saying, oh, if you use Jaeger, it goes through blueprints. It has like bullet points. Like you can learn things just by reading one line, stopping, reading another line versus trying to read a book. It's like a never ending book.
Right.
So that's what I was told. And once I got on, I was like, okay, this makes more sense in my, for comprehension purposes.
Did you know about the blueprints when you took the Becker course? Did you know about them?
I never even heard of blueprints until I heard about Jaeger. And then I did my research and I was like, oh, why don't people teach directly to the blueprints? It's like a computer. Like, you want to make sure that everything is organized. Why wouldn't you organize it the way the test is going to be testing us?
And let me just say, and I want to state this. I did not pay you at all to say no. these things, correct?
No, not at all.
All right. I just want to make sure. And, you know, it's very surprising that in this business, all right, I don't know of any other courses that actually mention the blueprints. Maybe they mention them, but they don't integrate the blueprints within their books or within their videos. I don't know what a lot of them are using, whether they're video learning or old school teaching, which a lot of people say Jaeger is old school teaching. All right. Well, I see nothing wrong with that. You know, explaining it on a whiteboard, would they stop making whiteboards the way people are talking?
Yeah.
All right. They stopped making them, huh?
Back in 2017.
I know. There's a shortage of that white. 2017? Yeah. Well, I went to the company who makes the whiteboards and I said, please don't stop making them. Okay. We're old school. And they said, who cares? We're out to make a profit. No, actually, every time I read that, some of these reviewers, if you want to call them that, who say Jaeger is old school. And yeah, I don't see.
Sometimes old school works.
Yeah. Not a move.
Why reinvent the wheel?
Could you have gotten the railroad to pay for the Jaeger course instead of Miss Becker? Yeah, they would.
They would have paid for any course that I asked. I only chose Becker because I was the one that everybody kept telling me was that was the best one. You could study for 4 months and pass all four exams. Just all the hoopla that people bring you.
The ASCPA is now saying, this is what we want you to know, these blueprints. All right? And that's what they gave on the exam. Is that true?
I passed. So, I mean, you know, when you're taking the test, you don't remember, like, well, actually, a couple of them you do. But you don't remember every single blueprint when you're studying.
You can't memorize every blueprint.
It's the concepts. Once you understand a concept, you're able to go into the test. And even if you forget the exact answer, you remember the concept, you're able to walk yourself through. You can easily normally eliminate two. And a lot of times it's down to two. And, you know, that's where if you understand the concepts, I would say for me, it was a week before. If you understand all the concepts a week before, that week up until, you just cram everything else. You do the reviews. But you need to understand the concepts at least. I would never go within 5 days of the exam. You want to know all the concepts by then.
Did you watch the cram course also besides the regular course?
So the cram course, so what I would do is I would read the outlines. I would read the study material. I would go through every line. Then I would take like the questions that you would have like in the back or something like that.
Right.
I'll take those. If I got at least a 60, I felt like, okay, I can come back to that later. If it was like a 40 or a 50, then we got to go over this now. If it was like a concept I didn't understand, then I would go through the regular review. If it was a concept I understood, but it was just details that I was missing, then I would go through the cram. So I kind of went through both at the same time, but I used the cram the majority of the time because my timeline started disappearing. I had to pass. I actually passed like right before the deadline. So I had to make sure I had to make a move, a decision. So I mainly used the cram.
So you would have lost parts again.
I would have. I never lost a part, but I would have lost a part had I not passed the last test.
Well, I'm glad you did. That's the most important thing. Let me ask you about exactly. You said you are sort of like a consultant now. Is that correct?
Correct.
And now you live in Houston, right? But you also, all right, live in California, right?
Correct. So my office is based in California. I get most of my clientele from California. That's where I'm from. I'm familiar with a lot of the businesses in the area, but the cost of living is really high. So to live in LA, you know, you can spend $1,800 on a studio apartment that's like 500 square feet versus in Houston, you can get a really nice apartment for $1,000 or so and live like a king. So I was like, well, you know, I can still fly out there every other month, see my clientele and save money just by coming to Texas. It gives me a raise. Now, if you're getting money from California, you still pay California taxes. It's based off of where you receive the money.
Right.
So it's not like that. It's just more of a cost of living situation.
When you went into your own practice,
mm-hmm.
did you know a lot of people to go to and say, hey, I'm doing accounting now. I'd like to do your accounts. Or were these a lot of cold leads? Where'd you get these leads from besides the social media?
So most of it came from social media. But all I was doing was while I was studying for the exam, I was creating content. So say if I was learning about the difference between an LLC or LLP, I was just verbalizing it onto, you know, a computer or onto a phone, and then I'll put it out there on social media. So I was essentially learning and marketing at the same time.
Very good. That's a good idea.
Thank you.
You're using, yeah, that's a great, I never would have thought about that. That as you're learning this, All right. You're telling people about it.
Correct.
And in a way, you're showing them, hey, I'm writing about information that I know, and I want to share it with you.
Correct.
Great idea. That's a great idea.
Great value.
May I ask how old you are, Charles?
I'm 29.
29. Where did you get all this business sense? It seems you have to negotiate things with people. Where did you pick this all up from?
Honestly, most of it came from the exam. I mean, you really just learn the rules of how to play the game. I mean, that's why I always look at an accountant as the scorekeeper. Like if you're playing football or basketball, baseball, you're always the scorekeeper. You're keeping track of the score. And then if you're keeping track of the score, you have to be able to explain it. You know, what's a rebound in basketball? You have to be able to be a translator to different people. And so I felt like when I was studying for the exam, you know, it just teaches you the exact rules. You understand, okay, you know, is it debt versus equity in terms of how to start a business? You know, how are you going to get those funds? And so really it was just came from actually studying. It didn't come from anything else besides opening up a book, you know, reading and dedicating yourself to it for quite a time.
That is really impressive. I'll tell you something. That is really how you come up with this. You know, you really have an entrepreneur mentality tremendously.
Thank you. You
probably didn't want to work for someone for the rest of your life.
No.
Anyway, Charles, I wish you the best of luck. And you know what? Take a couple minutes. All right. You're looking for more clients?
Always.
All right. Why don't you give yourself a little promo on our podcast? Tell if you were doing a promo, what would you say to them right now?
How y'all doing? My name is Charles J. Kelly, also known as CJ the Smart Guy. And today we're going to be talking about funding your business between debt and equity. So if you want to get your business started, you can go ahead and find you somebody with some money who doesn't want to do the work. They can join in with you, or you can find somebody who believes in you, but they want to make sure they get their money back. You can go through the debt route. If you didn't know how to fund that, then hopefully I've taught you something, brought some value to your life. And Charles J. Kelly, also known as CJ the Smart Guy, I'm out.
And how do they get in touch with you, CJ?
You can follow me on Instagram at CJ the Smart Guy. And going forward, I have my podcast that's on Spotify. You can search me as CJ the Smart Guy as well.
And, you know, if you want to ever do another podcast again, love to have you on. Really, definitely. Especially once you get that license. Where are you going with that? I'd like to know, honestly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charles. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your comments and information you're giving to people listening to this. And that's what they listen to it for. They try to get ideas from it.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Once again, I'd like to thank you for being the best part of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear on the show, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show to share your story, we want to hear from you. Send me an email to the studio at podcast@YeagerCPAReview.com. If you're enjoying the content that we're providing, we'd greatly appreciate it if you'd submit a review to the Apple iTunes podcast app to let us know how we're doing. If you're in the market for a CPA review course or simply want to find out more about the CPA exam and what Yeager has to offer, check out YeagerCPAReview.com or call our office and we'll answer any questions you may have. The link and the phone number will be in the description of this podcast. Here at Team Yeager, we're excited to tell you about our new Yeager CPA Review subscription format. It's the same great Yeager CPA Review course that you know and love on an all-new month-to-month, no-commitment subscription format. Check it out today. Once again, my name's Rob Medford. I'm your executive producer and director here at the Yeager Studios. And until next time, take care and be audit you can be.